What interest do we have in Afghanistan at this point with Al-Qaeda gone? We went to Afghanistan for the express purpose of getting rid of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, as well as getting Osama bin Laden. And we did.
Yes. And Saturday, we got rid of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan again. We just keep getting rid of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. So we got rid of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and then we left Afghanistan, and we gave Al-Qaeda back to Afghanistan. Or, excuse me, Afghanistan back to Al-Qaeda. It's the other way around. But, you know, we can keep killing them. And we have the ninja, the Hellfire Ninja, which will chop them up. You can slice them up, dice them up. Julienne. Yeah, they think they have julienne blades on the... Who was Julienne, anyway? A French chef, perhaps? Fun meme. Speaking of the Democrats hurling tens of billions of dollars around everywhere you look, there is a fun meme going around on the internet from lessgovernment.org. Looks like an Annie Leibovitz, a highly stylized photo of Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, and his loving wife, who appears to be a lovely person. And lessgovernment.org sums it up this way, because we keep hurling tens of billions of dollars at Ukraine. And, you know, where's that money going? Nobody's watching. Who's keeping an eye on that? Ukraine was a notoriously corrupt country before we started hurling tens of billions of dollars at it. Just look at the way they hired Hunter Biden and a notoriously corrupt family, an incredibly corrupt family. They hurled millions of dollars in Hunter Biden and his best buddy, Devin Archer, for a no-show job at a corrupt gas company that was being investigated by the nation's top investigator, top prosecutor, until Joe Biden ordered the country to fire the prosecutor that was looking into the company that had hired his son. And all of that's okay. And his son's buddy, Devin Archer. And his buddy, Devin Archer, has since been convicted of other crimes, trying to scam a Native American tribe, an American Indian tribe, out of millions of dollars. And all of this is fine because, you know, orange man bad, something like that. We live in a very corrupt country. And the key to all of this is the press. It's the news media. It's information dominance. And when the Democrats throw in another more than $400 billion in waste into a bill that is supposed to help veterans affected by burn pits in Iraq, and they throw in more than $400 billion for things that have nothing to do with any of that, but to spread it around to their friends, then we live in a corrupt, you know, these are corrupt Democrats. And honestly, if you're a Republican member of Congress, and Senator Toomey, I think, did a good job today, but hold a press conference with a whole bunch of Republicans in front of the Capitol and bring that idiot John Stewart along and put a dunce cap on him and say, listen, obviously we're the party that is for veterans. You're the anti-military, anti-veteran party, the Democrat Party. You're anti-police. You're pro-criminal. You're anti-U.S. military. You're pro-Iranian nuclear weapons program. And you're trying to steal $400 billion from the American taxpayer under the thinly veiled guise of helping veterans. Hold a press conference and say it over and over again. And every time you see a reporter, say it on camera. But they don't invite you on to say that because, you know, John Carl will shout you down. George Stephanopoulos will talk over you. Chunk Todd will change the subject because they're not journalists. They're Democrats and fluffers, naturally, as everybody knows. But in any case, this meme going around, I digressed again, didn't I? The Ukraine, because, you know, the Democrat Party's tentacles are everywhere in communist China. The Biden family's tentacles are everywhere in communist China. See Tony Bobulinski, see big guys, see the emails. The emails are not Russian disinformation. The claim that they're Russian disinformation is Russian disinformation. And Ukraine, who's watching the tens of billions we're throwing there?
We just gave another $550 million.
$550 million. We just gave another $550 million to Ukraine. See, they're buying yachts and you're going to see their yachts in Malta. The Ukrainian oligarchs are getting rich. Nobody's watching where the money's going. And by the way, we're funding Russia, too, by buying oil and buying anything from them. And Western Europe buying oil. Oh, also, did you see, what was it, Germany started another coal-burning plant up. Did you see this? It's buried in today's Washington Post. They burn a coal-fired plant. But the meme is foreign aid is poor people in rich countries sending money to rich people in poor countries. And anytime the United States of America, the money always comes from the middle class. It comes from farmers that the Democrat Party and the government are screwing over. It comes from small business owners that work 18 hours a day that are trying to scrape together enough money to send their kids to excessively expensive colleges that don't teach them anything except that their country is bad and they're racist. We take money from the middle class and the poor in the United States. It's where all the money comes from in the government coffers. And the rich and powerful in the United States take this money from the middle class. They send it to Ukraine. Do you think it goes to poor people in Ukraine? It goes to the rich people in Ukraine, which is a poor country, but never mind that. So it's kind of a good summary by lessgovernment.org. Foreign aid, and it's so often the case, we send it to African beephole countries and, you know, other beephole countries around the world. And then we're surprised when the leaders of these countries have billions of dollars in the bank. Like, you know, the richest person in Venezuela is the daughter of the late Hugo Chavez, who's reportedly worth $3 billion. Now, she couldn't get a job at a Chick-fil-A, but she's worth $3 billion. Where do you think all that money came from? Well, they stole it because they're communist, nationalized American oil companies and so on. But it's also true, you know, foreign aid, we give to, and, oh, it's a poor country. They need our money. And then Idi Amin's got an airliner and a 300-foot yacht and houses in the south of France and in California, Idi Amin and others like him. And where did that money come from? It came from the American middle class. And the power elite in Washington passed the money along to poor countries where the rich people in the poor countries stole the money for themselves. That's what the United Nations is for. That's what the Green Energy Plan is for. Foreign aid is poor people in rich countries sending money to rich people in poor countries. Pretty good summary, I've got to say. Pretty good stuff. All right, let's see. Where are we going? Oh, yes, Germany. I was laughing about this today. It's pretty ridiculous. Germany puts coal power plant back on network after gas supply cut. Now, we could play the audio of President Trump lecturing the Germans on not becoming too dependent on Vladimir Putin and Russia for their energy needs. But they did it anyway. And, you know, the Democrats will tell you, oh, Germany has done such a great job with alternative energy, with windmills, with solar panels. Well, the headline today, The Guardian out of the UK, Germany puts coal power plant back on network after gas supply cut. Mothballed facility in Lower Saxony gets emergency permission to run until April. Now, I mean, honestly, President Trump explained it all to him. He told him in no uncertain terms, and everybody knew it was true.
So we're supposed to protect you against Russia, but they're paying billions of dollars to Russia, and I think that's very inappropriate. And the former chancellor of Germany is the head of the pipeline company that's supplying the gas. Ultimately, Germany will have almost 70% of their country controlled by Russia with natural gas. So you tell me, is that appropriate? I mean, I've been complaining about this from the time I got in. It should have never been allowed to have happened.
A coal-fired power plant in Germany that had been mothballed has become the first of its kind to be put back online to the network in Germany as debate rages over how Europe's largest economy will cope without Russian gas. The gas. The facility in Lower Saxony, which is owned by the Czech energy company, EGH, has received emergency permission to run until April in an attempt to boost energy production. You know, and we played the audio cut earlier today of Kamala Harris yesterday dreaming about windmills and unicorns and how solar panels made in communist China, which are filled with toxins made by slave labor, are going to save us. And I got to tell you, the ruling elite, and this is because we're concerned that by the end of this century, there may be a 2 degrees Celsius increase in average temperatures around the world. These people are nuts. They're completely goofy. They are. You bet your bottom dollar. And I do want to know, because one of our brilliant listeners brought it up. What did they Facebook us or Twitter? They tweeted us, asked if the Biden administration has brought back online the disposition matrix. You remember the disposition matrix? The New York Times and the Washington Post thought it was great that Barack Obama had an assassination list in the Oval Office kept under lock and key, the Facebook of death, as I called it. And he would choose people, Barack Obama would, to be assassinated by the U.S. government. They condemned Israel for that about 20 minutes earlier when they did it on rare occasions. And also Barack Obama killed U.S. citizens without due process. Well, there was a Star Chamber process. And he killed U.S. citizens. And now you think anybody will ask whether the disposition matrix, it's a matrix from which people would be, well, they would dispose of people on the matrix, you see. That's the thing about that. Completely nuts. Now, we also got tweets from lefties who are unwell in so many different ways about because they care very deeply about veterans and children and Planned Parenthood. They're anti-veteran. They're anti-U.S. military. They're anti-U.S. overwhelmingly, you know, only if you judge them by their actions and their deeds and their words and their beliefs. But never mind that. But we were told, well, yeah, well, tell me Biden doesn't care about veterans. Biden sent pizza to protesters on Capitol steps after GOP blocks bill for veterans. The bill is not for veterans. This bill is for a Democrat, for corrupt Democrat kleptocrats. All right? But this is the, and we got a tweet. What did the tweet is? The angry tweet is like, tell Chris to explain how Joe Biden sent pizza. And what'd they send? Two pizzas?
Three pizzas.
And they get international press. This is a British newspaper, this headline. International press, Joe Biden sends pizza to burn pit protesters after Republicans block bill for veterans. GOP in action denounced after party pulls support from bill after the Democrats threw in $400 billion in corruption. I think it's $403 billion or $408 billion in corruption money. Joe Biden is using his COVID isolation time to highlight the GOP's resistance to passing legislation aimed at helping sick U.S. veterans. Video posted on Twitter, the president highlighted protesters who were camped out on the steps of the Capitol to denounce Republicans, just like Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart and ABC and the Washington Post, who have yet to put their support behind legislation that would mandate the Department of Veterans Affairs. See, and they sent the secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs down there to deliver, I think, three pizzas. Well, because I remember stuff, and Michael does too, we sat here and said, well, wait a minute. Remember when, the guardsmen were on Capitol Hill? And here are a couple of headlines from January of 2021. January 22nd, the day after Inauguration Day. And the guardsmen were left to live in parking garages underground in January in Washington. And then, of course, the Democrats, here's the from June of 2020. National Guardsman in Washington. Glass found in South Carolina National Guardsmen's pizzas that the Democrats working in the pizza places broke up glass, ground up glass, put them in the pizzas and sent them to the National Guardsmen because that's your Democrat Party. And they kicked them out of the parking garages in January where the Democrats had sent them to live. And then the Democrats sent them pizzas with glass shards in them. Now, if we had a news media, they might remember that and include it in the story about Biden sending pizzas to the military veterans or not. You know that the best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier uses proven Oxy technology, which quickly destroys viruses, odors, mold spores, and a whole lot more in the air in your home, in your office. People all over this great nation of ours are raving about how well the thunderstorm freshens the air in their homes, including my home. My living room right now, musty, mildewy smells vanish after just a few seconds with the thunderstorm being on. It's like magic. More than 265,000 units already sold. It works like a champ. You know, odor from whatever you have will disappear when you use the thunderstorm. Litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smoke, your mother-in-law's cooking. Even Michael Moore, should he darken your doorway. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for a whole home protection. You get 3 units for under $200 American. That's a fraction of the cost compared to some other air purifiers. Can go for more than $600 each. You can hold an Eden Pure Thunderstorm in your hand, no problem. Put one in your basement, your bedroom, any place you like clean, fresh air. And with this special offer, you're getting 3 units for under $200. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in the discount code CHRIS3, that's Chris and the number 3, to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is CHRIS3, and shipping is free. Yeah. Yeah, the they get press all over the world. They sent 3 pizzas to the protesters at the Capitol who are being suckered by the Democrat Party. I just remember the broken shards of glass you guys sent in the pizza while they were living in underground garages. You know, honestly, please. Information dominance.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
So what is this? It's called Explain It Like I'm Five. That's Explain It Like I'm Five. Explain Like I'm Five. It's a online entity, and they ask the musical questions so that people can join in the conversation. How did the U.S. rise to a global superpower in only 250 years, but countries that have been around for thousands of years are still undeveloped and can't feed their people?
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, this is kind of fun. Explain It Like I'm Five. Honestly, when the Euros came over in their rickety wooden boats that are 90 feet long, why didn't they discover North America and South America with airplanes and space travel and telephones and skyscrapers and hospital centers? What's up with that? It's a perfectly fair question, isn't it? Written language, ancient texts, libraries. You know, the U.S. was a developing country for, what, 100 years, 150 years, developing pretty well. It's about culture, period, full stop. That's pretty much it. After that, the United States, and it's a part of the discussion here, arguably the largest economy, military, academic presence, manufacturing powerhouse the world has ever seen. Yet there are countries all over the world that have been around since ancient times that still can't feed or house their population. How's that possible? The answer is culture and the Judeo-Christian work ethic, to cite one very important. And that's not a slur on anybody. It's just a statement of fact. So, you know, get over yourselves. Gotta say. Now there is, let's take a phone call. There's too much to talk about every day, thanks to the Democrats. But I got a little monkeypox for you. Well, I'm not going to give you monkeypox or anything. But I got a little monkeypox for a monkeypox update for you. And a representative of 9/11 families, the former head of the New York Fire Department, on the killing of Ayman al-Zawahiri. Some pretty straightforward stuff. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike calling from Gainesville, Virginia. Michael, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris Plant. How are you?
I'm swell, Mike. What do you say? What do you know?
I think I figured out how Gavin Newsom gets to be president.
How? How does Gavin Newsom get to be president?
Well, Joe Biden steps down from the 25th Amendment. Kamala steps up. They threaten her. She steps down. Nancy Pelosi fills the void. And then she basically nominates Gavin Newsom to be the Speaker of the House. The Democrats vote him in, and then she just switches place with him.
That is a very tricky scenario. That's complicated. It could happen that way because Speaker of the House is third in line to the presidency. Well, it's, I apologize, second in line to the presidency after the vice president. Should a calamity occur that would necessitate such a political move. But there are, you know, I mean, it's kind of a parlor game at this point, right, Michael, of,
True.
You know,
True.
Of what happens in 2024 with the Democrats because they know Biden is not going to be their guy. They're not going to say it out loud yet, but they know it. And they know that Kamala is the laughingstock of even the Democrat Party's Georgetown set. So that is a problem for them. And how do they maneuver? How do they maneuver is too generous. How do they weasel their way through this? And, you know, obviously with an eye toward keeping power for themselves so they can keep throwing $400 billion into bills that have nothing to do with their $400 billion. You know, that's what it's all about. In the end, it's about the money and the power. You know, power, money, money, power. That's it.
Yeah, but the corrupting influence of fiat currency is what's taking us down the tunnel, I think, into oblivion. It's to be able to create all this money and saddle us with the debt for it. They can hand it out to themselves and all their cronies around the world in Ukraine and wherever else. And what they do with it is never really accounted for. And we just have to pay the bill in the end over time.
Yeah, in theory, over time. Or we just bankrupt capitalism itself by bankrupting the United States, as in the Cloward and Piven strategy that the left developed in a faculty lounge long ago, right? And it sure looks like they're trying to bankrupt us and devalue our currency and make sure that we're not the lead economy on the planet Earth. Everything they're doing undermines us. And it goes back, honestly, to what Angela said, one of our brilliant, wonderful callers earlier today, about Barack Obama declaring, you know, that their goal was the fundamental transformation of America.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
And Joe Biden used almost identical language early on. It was little noticed. We played it here. But the fundamental transformation of America is not what most people voted for. You heard the crowd of lunatics go wild screaming, yay, the fundamental transformation of America by a radical leftist raised by a communist named Frank Marshall Davis. And, you know, Hillary Clinton with her Saul Alinsky background.
And I truly think that if we do this right, we have an incredible opportunity to not just dig out of this crisis, but to fundamentally transform the country.
Fundamentally transform the country. Yeah. From a successful, prosperous, you know, I mean, as the most successful country in the history of the world, the most successful culture in the history of the world, where do we get these people that want to burn it to the ground, to tear it down timber by timber, to fundamentally transform? Honey, I love you, but we're going to need to fundamentally transform you if this marriage is going to survive. Honey, you're a great cook, but we're going to have to fundamentally transform everything you do in the kitchen, starting with the shopping list. Honestly, this is, you know, fundamental transformation is a pretty thorough denunciation, condemnation of whatever it is that you want to fundamentally transform. And the crowd went wild. They were squealing with delight.
Any single element of this framework would fundamentally be viewed as a fundamental change in America.
He's off his meds again. Somebody hit him with a dart. They're amazing. Now, Nanny Pelosi has arrived in Taipei, the big city on the island of Taiwan, which the Chinese claim belongs to them. And they love going around threatening everybody, either directly by way of the government or by proxy with one of their government stooge media figures, as happened the other day.
The Constitution does not say that a person can shout, yell wolf in a crowded theater.
That's exactly right. The Constitution, just show me where it says in the Constitution that you can shout, yell wolf in a crowded theater. So she arrived there. She's probably hoping they'd be shot down, then she'd be famous. But she arrived in Taiwan, and it's the highest ranking U.S. government official to arrive in Taiwan in 25 years. And there was a lot of cowardice surrounding this whole episode. But you know, you got to keep in mind that the Biden family has deep financial, professional business roots in communist China. And that was explained by Tony Bobulinski, who was a CEO, I guess he's not anymore, of one of the many Biden family's international corporations. It's all fine. You know, there is no call to investigate Joe Biden's finances like there was to investigate the Trump family finances and Donald Trump's finances. Now, although they've been investigated and investigated and investigated, Trump family finances and New York Attorney General and Georgia, and everybody's investigating the Trump family. And you notice that nothing has turned up of any particular interest. But the Biden family, it's all over the emails and in the laptop. And Tony B was, hey, Mr. B. That's, of course, Joe Biden's favorite show, Hazel. And Mr. B. And he loves that Shirley Booth. And Tony Bobulinski, he's on the record. He testified before Congress. He was on camera. He testified to the FBI for hours and hours about all the corruption in the Biden family and what the emails reveal. And the New York Times, a year and a half late, came around and said, oh, yeah, it turns out the emails are real and the laptop is real, as everybody knew all along. But, you know, they killed Twitter and the rest of them killed the story. Tony Bobulinski, you know, and again, I wasn't worried that China was going to shoot down the U.S. Air Force 757 with the Air Force One-style paint job out of Andrews Air Force Base, Joint Base Andrews. But, you know, the Biden family, they've got, you know, they're in solid with the commies.
In that email, there's a statement where they go through the equity. Jim Biden's referenced as, you know, 10%. Doesn't say Biden, it says Jim. And then it has 10% for the big guy held by H. I 1,000% sit here and know that the big guy is referencing Joe Biden. That's crystal clear to me.
Crystal clear, a big guy. And it's since this Tony Bobulinski interview, more communications, more emails have emerged. Once again, referring to Joe Biden as big guy and the big guy. and that he gets, according to the emails, a 10% piece of the action. Like, you know, the mafia is like Virgil Salazzo. You know, he just wants to wet his beak. You must share the judges and politicians that you carry in your pocket like so many nickels and dimes. So I got several Godfather references today. It all started because, you know, we're acting like Sicilians getting this guy 21 years later. That's, you know, we know it. We know it's true. All right, let's get to, we have any more on, well, you know, she's Nancy Pelosi with a congressional delegation in Taiwan, and the Chinese aren't going to do anything. And the cowardice that surrounded this whole thing was quite disturbing for the United States of America. But, you know, toxic masculinity, remember? Masculinity bad. Let's go to Dr. Mark Siegel. Dr. Mark Siegel was on the Fox News channel this morning, and he's talking about monkeypox, which is the newest Democrat disease, the newest Democrat virus. And, you know, they did some contact tracing, monkeypox. It's been in Africa for years and years, like so many terrible diseases. It's where Ebola came from, the Ebola River, and all that stuff. But it spread to Europe in outbreaks quite recently, which were traced to two raves. They're called raves, which are gay festivals that involve a lot of random sex with strangers. One of the raves was in Spain, one was in Belgium, and World Health Organization and others traced them back to these two raves, right? And then the New York City Pride Week, we had the guy Sebastian Kahn, who is a George Soros activist, and he got both gonorrhea and the monkeypox at New York. Right, exactly. You know, Jasmine is on the phone today. She's like, rolling her eyes. She just got back from 5 weeks in Spain. Jasmine is back, and she's doing a wonderful job. So here's Dr. Mark Siegel this morning talking about the monkeypox.
Monkeypox is primarily in the gay and bisexual population, males, male-to-male sex. It is spreading with close contacts. It's spreading among that population. Not enough has been done about it. Here's the real story. We have a vaccine for this. This isn't going to be another HIV. Okay. We have a vaccine for this called the Jynneos vaccine, but only 300,000 doses of it have been distributed in the United States. Hospitals around New York don't have it. People are asking me for it. Anyone in this population is asking me for it.
But there are only 300,000 doses, and it's spreading like wildfire. New York and San Francisco have declared states of emergency, and no sooner did San Francisco declare a state of emergency that they started advertising for the next gay festival. What does it call it? Well, the Monkeypox Fest, I think, is the thing. Like in Chicago, they have Lollapalooza. In San Francisco, they have Monkeypox Fest, and it's a big disease-spreading thing. But here's the thing I noted this morning. If Donald Trump were president and states of emergency were being declared in our major cities, and we only had 300,000 doses, there would be riots and protests in front of the White House, and a Democrat would set himself on fire in front of the Supreme Court, like on Earth Day. That was a good Earth Day celebration, wasn't it? Put more smoke in the air. Just crazy, just insane. And only 300,000 doses, but it's spreading like wildfire, and there are more festivals to come. And again, if it were a Republican president, a Republican Congress, the Democrats would be burning things. The news media would get tight shots of crazy people crying and things like that. Completely nuts. Also, you have the, what's his name? Van Essen. James?
Thomas Van
Essen. I apologize. Thomas Van Essen, former fire chief September 11th. Involved in the follow-up to September 11th, 2001, and representing families and so on, and his firefighters, of course. Thomas Van Essen on getting the al-Qaeda leader in Afghanistan, Ayman al-Zawahiri.
When I hear people describe it as an intelligence success, I don't understand how you can have a $25 million bounty on someone. He eludes you for 20 years, and you can call it a success. I think it shows what a low bar we have for our intelligence today, to me.
Yeah, well, you know, the lower we set the bar, the more intelligent people appear to be. And for the Democrats, and Joe Biden's president, and he handed Afghanistan over to al-Qaeda, and his guys living on with a rooftop garden and a balcony, and then we kill him with the big flying razor blade thing. Hi-ya! Hi, karate. He's not buying it.
Of course, I'm glad this thug is dead. You know, the fact that it could take so long, and it almost looked like he wanted to get caught to come into Kabul and sit with his family. It doesn't look like, you know, he was making that much more of an effort like he did the past 20 years anyway to hide out.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're like, I mean, again, we're like Sicilians. Don't mess with us. 21 years later, when you least expect it, we're going to chop you to pieces. So take that, radical Islam. Beyonce is pulling an offensive word from one of her songs because, well, you know why. That's coming up.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Oh, California last night, the state of California, Gavin Newsom, maybe the, you know, Democrats' next presidential nominee, declared a statewide California state of emergency for monkeypox. Monkeypox, because, you know, a lot of strange stuff happens in California. We know that. Michael suggests that to show that it's safe, Joe Biden should be vaccinated with the monkeypox vaccine. And again, the state of California is about 30 million people now, most of them nuts, and state of emergency on monkeypox. But we have only 300,000 vaccines in the country, and you can't even get them in New York City. And so California, but again, for a Republican president in Congress, the left would be burning cities down. Where's our vaccine for monkeypox? And as you know, Jerry Nadler thinks that monkeypox is a breakfast cereal. Add some almond milk. Let's go to Beyonce has to kill her song because it's got the word spaz in it. The word spaz. What's that? Some of that is, I don't know. But it's a spaz on my rumpus, on my ass, is what she says. And now the spaz community has said that she can't use the word spaz. Now, spaz just refers to spasm, like a muscular contraction. You know, should change it to restless leg syndrome, maybe too many syllables, I guess, but spaz. And, you know, it reminds me that Kendrick Lamar got the Pulitzer Prize from the left for a song that had so many N-words and B-words and talking about,
I'm willing to die for this I take your life for this
he's gonna die and death cult and shootings in inner cities and he got the Pulitzer Prize for this. But apparently the Democrat Party has a very powerful spaz community now. You know, they call everything communities. Like they live in gated communities with golf carts and free crack and Russian hookers and stuff, like Hunter Bidenville, wasting away again in Hunter Bidenville, looking for my lost crack pipe of the Democrats are different, you know. So F. Scott Fitzgerald, the rich are different. The Democrats are different, and their brains don't work as designed. I'm convinced there is a problem here.
All
our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.